Morning. This morning we're going to look at Elizabeth's life. Can anybody tell me who Elizabeth is the mother of? Okay. We're going to do a little bit of background on her. Luke is the only passage that we hear about her and her husband. All the other Gospels make reference to John when he is an adult. And the commentaries say that's because Luke filled in a lot of the blanks that wasn't there for the other Gospels, because the other Gospels were writing to different people, and Luke comes along and fills in the blanks. So, chapter 1 of Luke, which is not being displayed because we're just giving background, talks about the fact that she's married to a priest, and according to verse 6, they are both religious in the sight of God, observing all of God's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they're childless, and that's an important thing because Elizabeth is not able to conceive, and they're very old. And we don't know how old very old is, but they're beyond childbearing years. So I'm going to read 11 through 20 just as background. Now, her husband is in the temple. He's been called to the temple. He's standing in the temple. He's preparing incense. Verse 11, and then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, remember the training manual says, do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drinks, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. So, if you can imagine this, and I apologize to Billy Joe and anybody that's going to listen to this, can you imagine him coming home to her? You know, what's she going to say? Did you hit your head? Okay, do you not realize how old we are? You know, but it comes about, and she becomes pregnant, and she remains in the home, and she says to God in verse 20, or she says in verse 25, the Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Before she even realizes it, she spent her entire lifetime in preparation to be John's mother. And she did not even know it. It was part of God's plan, and the verse about being righteous is here because people believed that, you know, If you were sinful, you didn't have kids, or God was punishing you. And so the passage is here saying that they're righteous so that we know that she wasn't being punished, that there was a purpose for this. And the main purpose of women in that day was to have children. No children, no worth as a woman or as a person. So she would have struggled emotionally. And yet she came through this a righteous woman. She struggled with this. I'm sure she questioned God, but she came through righteous. And at this point, she'd probably given up praying for a child in their old age. So the pregnancy is a miracle in itself. Now we're going to pick up the passage that we're going to be studying, which is Luke 1, 39 through 45. It's found on page 1013 in your pew Bibles. It's also displayed behind me. That's trust. Not to turn around and check that out. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Now, if you remember last week, Gabriel appears before Mary and says to her, "You are going to conceive by the Holy Spirit this child." And immediately we see she gets ready, because Gabriel also says, "Elizabeth, your cousin who is barren, is also conceived." So she gets ready immediately. Now, we believe it's about a three-day journey to get there. And so 3 days she's pregnant, she's not going to show. But Elizabeth is in her 6th month. So there's been no communication between these two. Mary walks in and the baby leaps. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. If we go back to verse 15 that I just read, it states that the baby will be filled with the Holy Spirit before birth. And so this is what Gabriel said would happen is actually happening. Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Remember last week, as Gabriel's talking to Mary and going down through and talking about, "You're going to have a son," and she's going, "Okay," and he's going to name Jesus. Okay, wait a minute, I've heard this before. And then when he gets through and says, he's going to be the Savior or the Messiah. It doesn't say that, but she knows. She has picked up that this is prophecy and she's going to be the one carrying the Messiah. Elizabeth immediately recognizes that without being told. So that, again, the Holy Spirit has said to her, Mary is the one carrying the Messiah. And then she says, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Remember the closing song last week, "Standing on the Promises"? They're standing on promises because they're believing what God is saying. So I want to look, with the time we have remaining, at the word "blessed" and what that means to them and what it means to us. Verse 42 uses the word "blessed." In that wording, it means, the Greek word is eulogio, which means eulogy, which you recognize when we eulogize somebody at a funeral, that talks about somebody's life from a positive perspective, means to praise, to speak well of, to honor. Now, in blessed, in verse 45, That's a different word, even though it's the same in our Bible, back to the Greek, is a different word. It's not eulogio. It's a word that has less to do with people's words about you and more to do with finding favor by God and having the heart and attitude of one who knows that they are favored by God. Translation is more pervasive joy, regardless of the circumstances. So regardless of hard times, when you trust Him, when you take God at His word, when you cast all your cares upon Him, you're going to have joy. Elizabeth could say this because she had lived this. Being blessed does not mean things will be easy before or now. Elizabeth has dealt with hardships, being scorned, and struggled. Often when God blesses us or has us going through trials, He puts people in our lives to help us walk through this. Mary's excited that Elizabeth, who has been down this path in some ways of being scorned and people whispering behind her back, you know, first of all, God has done a miracle in her life, in Elizabeth's life, and God's also done a miracle in Mary's life. So she goes to chat with Elizabeth, and she stays there for 3 months. Elizabeth has lived with scorn and ridicule and struggles. Elizabeth can actually say, been there, done that, got that t-shirt. Sometimes we have to admit our brokenness and our weakness and our powerlessness before we can experience God's blessing. We need to be able to say, I can't do this, or I'm at the end of my rope. Because in the midst of that and giving up our struggle and our control, we allow God to show His power. We can allow God then to step in and say, you know what? I'm going to carry you through this. Elizabeth saw God working in her own life, which provides an inspiration to Mary, because Mary's going to have a tough life going forward. And she can look at Elizabeth and say, you know what? God was faithful to you. He's going to be faithful to me. Being blessed sometimes means that we live in God's will and outside our comfort zone. He doesn't keep us in our comfort zone. We have a promise from God that we will be blessed because we believe what He says. Mary agrees to God's plan. She allowed herself to accept what God desired and all that comes with it. It begins with servanthood. Elizabeth, because Mary's all in, Elizabeth is also all in, not because of the two, but they're both very faithful. God gives us joyful promises and earthly blessings. God still gives us joyful promises. But we need to stop and listen and look, because we often miss God's blessings to us. We often miss His promises that He gives to us and fulfills, because we're just so busy, especially this time of year. We're running, we fill our lives with white noise. Being blessed does not always mean we get what we want, but what God determines is best for us and brings His glory to Him. It often means that life will not be the same again. Blessings and faith also go hand in hand. Verse 45, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. God made promises and people believed and waited for the Messiah to come. Just like we are waiting for the return of our risen Christ. But it's more than that. Faith to believe that God has everything under control. Even when it seems the new normal, as one of the reporters said this week, is shootings almost daily with mass casualties. God does have everything under control. This doesn't surprise Him. That's where we're going. But we have to be able to trust. Just like I trusted that the PowerPoint was up behind me during that scripture, we need to trust that God does have everything under control. And there's a purpose in what He's doing. Elizabeth is able to see Mary's situation through the eyes of faith. Here is an unwed mother who is carrying the Messiah, and she knows there's nothing but problems ahead. But she comes from it with eyes of faith. You are blessed. Your child is going to be blessed. And you're the mother of the Messiah. She doesn't say, oh, you're having a kid out of wedlock. Ooh, ah, ee. Or, do you know what's ahead for you? She doesn't say all that. She's saying, you're blessed. Look at the favor God has given you. Do you see a pattern of growth here? Because she didn't start out this way. She has grown through the trials that she has been through, which we don't see. Blessing means that we stay the course. Hosea 13:6 says, when I, who is God speaking here, fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me. If you go back and look that, read that whole section, the whole book, it's all about people forgetting God and turning their backs. We forget what God has given us. We become proud and independent, self-centered, and it becomes all about me. Me, 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 me. And we get stuck in there. And it's really difficult for God to work because we're not listening. Being blessed is a state of mind. Realizing I am not my own, I am God's, and He gets to determine what happens to me because I truly am His. It impacts, if I believe that, it impacts how I view things, it impacts what happens to me, it impacts how I respond. I need to learn to trust God completely. I need to lean into Romans 8:28, that everything happens for me, for good for me, since I am living according to His will for my life. And kicking in James 1:2-18, count it all joy when I face trials, because I know that God is growing me, transforming me into His image, pushing me outside my comfort zone. He's growing my faith into maturity and completeness, which is another word for holiness, which means closer to God. Believing and not doubting, stable in my faith rather than a wave in the sea, which is blown and tossed about by the wind. And the passage goes on to say, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. We're all tempted, and we choose which path we go. Are we going to be dragged away by our evil desires, which give birth to sin, which when it's full grown, gives birth to death, because we've turned our back on God? We can choose to live in Egypt, knowing God, calling Him our Savior sometimes, yet not able or willing to make the change. We call out to God to save us, but we don't want to be truly saved. We don't want to be changed. We don't want to be doing anything with that God. We just want to be having our fire insurance. Sometimes we're fearful and afraid of change, so we're so locked into our selfish lifestyles, we're unwilling to accept the help God sends us to save us. We don't trust God enough to save us. We give Him lip service. Or we can wander into the wilderness, sometimes screaming, and sometimes being dragged, grumbling, ungrateful for what we have, always wanting more. You notice it's still about me. My needs, my wants, I'm not focused on God, and if I am, it's very short-lived. Or we can live in the promised land. Living in the promised land is not easy. It takes sacrifice. It takes trust in God that He is in control and can protect us. Living a free life means not living in fear. The word fear in the Bible appears more than 230 times because we're a fearful person. And that is how people control us, by fear. If we live in fear, we will never go to another Christmas office party again. There are things we can do to protect ourselves, but we can't live our lives in fear. That's not true living. I am not my own, and trusting God, standing on His promises, letting go of my fears. Instead, rejoicing and calling myself blessed, or we call ourselves blessed. We're doing the blessing jars right now. We are truly blessed if we are the children of God. Blessing means being obedient to God and following His will, even if it means we don't know where it's going to lead. Blind faith, giving up our will and our control. Blessing means following God's will, even when it opens up our lives for what appears to be ordinary. It's clear that Mary was the mother of Jesus, but there's no proclamation other than what we find in Luke for Elizabeth. She just, God comes in, performs a miracle. She does not know until her husband's able to talk, which is after the baby is born and they go to name him, what the purpose of John was going to be. So we don't always know what we're doing. We look at things, well, I want to do great things. Well, God wants us to do what He wants us to do. That doesn't always look or translate into something spectacular in our eyes, but it is. Noah building the ark didn't look so spectacular. These women gave up selfishly of their lives. And yes, it looked spectacular for one, but it did not look for the other. And yet John is the one who comes and proclaims Jesus coming. Blessings means that our expectations and traditions may need to change. Life may be very different than what we expect it to be. Our senior pastor was on the fast track to a Fortune 500 company and would be comfortably set for his family and himself, set for life, plus prestige of being, you know, one of the top people in a Fortune 500 company. I was on the fast track to retirement. My dream was to be a beach bum. Or at the very least, winter in Florida. After last year, I really struggled with, because, you know, are you going to follow God's calling? Or are you going to follow all your friends who are retired and calling you from Florida when you're deep in snow and freezing to death, and they're saying, oh, it's 80 down here. By the way, working on my tan, how are you doing? And yet, both of us will tell you that we consider ourselves blessed to be your pastoral staff and serve you and walk with you toward a closer walk with God. Having a relationship with God as Savior is not enough. We need more than fire insurance. We need to have a life of faithfulness and joy regardless of our circumstances. We need to be all in and allow the Holy Spirit to grow us and transform us into God's likeness. We need to see our lives as blessed regardless of our circumstances. The song we sang this morning on blessing, you know, we ask for blessing and we have a definition of it. But the chorus says, what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Those blessings bring us closer to God, to see in the face of God, to feel His presence about us. We need to see our lives as blessed regardless of our circumstances. Like Mary, we need to say from last week's sermon, I am the Lord's servant. I'm all in. May it be to me as you have said. Or in her story, which is the next passage from the passage we read today, where it says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So as we pause here to get ready for communion, can you say like Mary, my soul glorifies the Lord, regardless of whatever circumstances are going on, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior? If not, I ask you to pause and ask the Holy Spirit to help you step closer to being able to say this and that type of relationship with God.